that. I know you have options in flights and drives and getting home, so I appreciate that. There we go. Now we've got some sound. So we're going to be real targeted here and talk about supermodels. No, that was not me in my previous career. I'm sure no one suspected that. Brain Zooming Group, we've been around about 6 years. We do strategy, innovation work, creative work for companies. It's really a lot about just how to help people take the knowledge that they have and apply it in new ways. We do a little bit in social and content. The tools work there as well, but a lot in organizational strategy and other things as well. So that's us. It's been great. I spent 18 years in the transportation and logistics field, so to be able to work across some other industries and try these things out has been fantastic, and great relationship with GSMI last couple of years as well. We did an ebook on solo social media, and that was a workshop yesterday. For those of you who were there, hopefully you've downloaded it, but for those not, get it as well, because there's a lot of application on things there. Two things which I usually do at the end, but I'm going to do now because you may be leaving, but there's still opportunities to get it. So I've got some orange forms. We call this a plus minus interesting recommendation. We do this really everything that we do. It's a chance to say, relative to this presentation, what was something you liked that's a plus, something that was a minus if there's something you didn't like or didn't work, an interesting something maybe you didn't suspect, a recommendation if you've got a question. And if you, even if you have to leave early, but you can jot a couple of those things down and leave them with Brianna when you go, here, it's a chance to win some of our orange I Am Creative socks. Yes, on the underneath. These are notes to self socks. These were inspired by Brain Zooming. So chance for you to give us some great feedback and you to win some stuff as well. And I think I've got four pairs because I had one yesterday. I haven't been able to find the winner. Also, I put together an ebook for this, and it is at info.brainzooming.com/social supermodels. So if you want to go out and get that, and I've got the URL later. It's got some of the content, some of the analogies that we're going to talk about today. So if you want to take those back and use them, you can go out and get that. So at Social Supermodels. So who tries to sell social into the C-suite or your upper management? Is that in anybody's job description? Some? No? You've got it sold in? Any C-suiters in the room? Last time I did this presentation, there was a C-suite person in the room. So it was so funny because the C-suite guy was over here. He has a holiday ham company. There's four people. And there was like 25 agency people over here. And the guy over here didn't believe in social. And you had 25 agency people over here just like, we'll help you, we'll help you, we'll help you. And the more they did that, the more he just like went against the wall. But it was great because he threw out some of the challenges that C-suite people see and that, you know, they just don't necessarily get the value of social or how it fits in. 50% of brand C-suite aren't convinced of the value of social. And even on a personal standpoint, while they'll go out and speak and they get that, you know, that's a place to engage, they don't see the same kind of impact on social. It's not really any wonder that that's the case, though, because so often they get hit thinking about social and content with something like this. So this is the, you know, the whole social and content ecosystem, and it's all colorful and all these things. But if you didn't live in this world and now you're running a company and you're got P&L responsibility, you see that, and the person that comes in, you think, you know, they're like the social kid in the candy store. It's just all these colors and I don't know what to do with it. You know, what the hell am I going to do with this? They should be thinking about business objectives. This is a chart we used in the workshop the other day. But interestingly, even a lot of times when you start the discussion there, which is where you should start any discussion you're going to try and sell in a social campaign, is what are the business objectives and how do they fit in? How could we contribute to that? At times, they don't even know what the business objectives are. We just ran into that with a client, that their business line presidents couldn't talk about what they were trying to accomplish. So what else can you do? How can you make this a little bit more tangible for them? Something that we found out over time that really starts to help is what we call these supermodels. And it's basically taking advantage of this idea that even if you don't get this, can I give you an example of something else that this is like, maybe in the offline world or something that they're a lot more familiar with, and all of a sudden it starts to click. Okay, well, I see how that might fit, or I see why the ways that we're trying to use that aren't working really well. So that's why I want to share with you today is some of these typical questions a C-suiter might have and how you may be able to think about how you use this, whether that's at an executive level, it may be partners, affiliates, whoever, who aren't quite getting social in what you're trying to accomplish with it. So this one about social content, is that the same thing? Is that different? And you know, what should we be doing with that? And we kind of say that, you know what, the whole social and content thing is like Reese's peanut butter cups. So what do we know about Reese's peanut butter cups? They're the highest sales in candy. Peanut butter and chocolate go well together, exactly. And that really is like content marketing and social media, if you think about it. As we describe it, content marketing is the chocolate. Content marketing has been around a long time. It's not necessarily new. I think Joe Polizzi at the Content Marketing Institute would say it goes back maybe 150 years, maybe even further than that. And like chocolate, there's a lot of ways to enjoy content that have nothing to do with social media. I mean, you can just enjoy it all kinds of ways. Social media is relatively new, and we think it's a little bit more like peanut butter. Yeah, I mean, you can eat peanut butter by itself, but it's a whole lot better with something else, and it's really a whole lot better with chocolate. That combination really is powerful. It's a convenient way to help set the stage of, yeah, we could go out and get on Twitter, and we can go out and get on Facebook, and we can go do the social thing, but if we don't have great content, if we don't have great stories, if we don't have great messages that engage an audience, the combination isn't going to work. It's just not really going to be there. So this whole social and content thing really comes down to, it's like Reese's peanut butter cups. Okay, I get that. Which I thought about at lunch. I should have had Reese's peanut butter cups here. Wouldn't that have, that would have been a nice, and yeah, it's, yeah. Brianna, you got to bring me back next time. I'll have the peanut butter cups next time. What?
I would have friended
you. Oh, he would have friended, oh, this is now going downhill. Half the audience has left, and now I've disaffected you because I have no peanut butter cups. So the, you know, the CEO may say, you know, what, we're updating our website. We put our quarterly press release out there, so we get this content marketing thing. Isn't that enough? And to those folks, we say, you know what? The typical website where you're not really updating content on any kind of a frequent basis, and certainly we're just putting your press releases out there and thinking that that's going to bring people back, is a lot like a retail store. It was stocked up, the shelves were full, they opened the doors, everybody came in and bought stuff, and that's what the store looks like right now. Who's gonna go to that store? It's not like complete audience dependency, but who would go?
Well, no one was gonna go.
Yeah, nobody, yeah, I asked the question the wrong way, yeah. There's water, there's some essentials there. No, you wouldn't go back there. There's no reason to go back there. And it's the same way with a website. If you've got a website and you're not putting new content out there, why should somebody come back? And the thing is, you know, what you do a lot of times and your values and in the About Us page and where are our locations and all that, that doesn't particularly change a lot. There's no reason to keep changing that all the time. Yet, there's no reason for people to come, and the search engines look at you and go, well, there's just not a lot happening in this website. So that's where, from a content standpoint, we talk to them about a blog fits in. Because a blog gives you a compelling reason to update content and to share stories about your brand. So the question, well, what is a blog? How does that fit in? We say, you know what? Think about a blog like your organizational campfire, your corporate campfire. That's your place to tell stories. Now, what kind of stories do you tell around campfires?
Scary
stories. What other kinds of stories? Funny stories? Gross stories?
Inspiring
stories? Emotional stories? Yeah, all of this. It was 110 yesterday. I'm not going to pick on you for campfire stories. No way. You came from 110 degree weather. That's cool. Yeah, that sounds really good, you know, come October. Yeah. It's all those kind of stories. You don't go to the local campfire and say, I'm pleased to announce that our new product release is setting the standard in world-class global commerce as a solutions provider in our high-tech industry. They would kick you out of the campfire. In the same way, if you go out to a blog and try and spin your press releases and just us, that isn't going to work. It's a place to tell the stories about great things you're doing, great things your customers are doing, things your employees are doing. There's all kinds of stories in any organization, and that blog is that great place to talk about those things. Next, well, okay, you've talked to me about all this stuff, and I sort of get it, and I've heard of Twitter before. My kid or somebody has talked about Twitter. Can't we just do that and be good with it? So we try and have these same sort of analogies as well to help them think about each of these social platforms and how do you use them, because so many organizations don't get that. So like Twitter, we tell them Twitter is like a networking event. Who enjoys networking events? Why do you enjoy networking events? What happens there?
Oh, me? I'm sorry. I like to make new friends.
You like to make new friends. How do you do that at a networking event?
I'm friendly. I don't talk to people.
You're friendly. You go talk to people. You don't walk in the room. Hi, I'm here. How's everybody doing? Let me tell you about my company. Because nobody's going to have a conversation with you. They're just going to look at you odd. You go make eye contact with people. You find groups of people who are talking. You listen to what they're doing. You ask them questions. You engage with them. That's just like Twitter. But so many brands go out there and it's like, okay, now we're on Twitter. Let's just blast about us. Here's our deals. Here's what we're doing. Here's all this other stuff. And that's not going to be successful at building relationships. So a way to think about, how do you take that offline networking opportunity and bring it online? How can you start to engage more? Facebook, we talk about that. Think about that almost like TV. It's a screen, you know, and now increasingly on mobile, that people are spending time finding out a whole variety of things. And it's something that they're using off hours as well as on hours as well. And even in a B2B setting, I know we use this. I find out what our clients are doing because I'm Facebook friends with them. But like TV, it isn't all commercials. I think we were talking about that in the workshop yesterday about the idea that, you know, if you watch a sitcom, it's 22 minutes of entertainment and maybe 6 or 7 minutes of commercials. So if your brand goes out there or there's an expectation, we're just going to run ads all the time and just promotional messages, you're not going to be very successful. But increasingly, like TV, you've got to pay to get seen if you're a brand. So a different way to think about Facebook and where it starts to fit in, how it looks different than Twitter. LinkedIn, we describe as a big industry conference. If you think about an industry conference, what can you do at those? You can go listen to talks. There's speakers there. What else happens at industry conferences? Give out your business cards. What else happens? Randy, what happens at industry conferences?
Networking,
trade shows. There's exhibits. You may be talking to people about jobs. You may be sharing information. You've got white papers you're even handing out there, all kinds of things. But let me ask you a question. Suppose you went to San Francisco for the latest, or Las Vegas for the latest industry conference. If you sat in your hotel room the entire time and never went to one thing, how valuable would that experience be? Gosh, Mike, it probably wouldn't be all that valuable, would it? Exactly. And it's the same way with LinkedIn. There's a lot going on there, and they continue to add new things and new things. But if you don't get out there and participate, you're not going to see that value with it. So really think about LinkedIn as what are all the pieces that are there? And as we would go to a trade show or a conference and have a plan for how to get the most value out of it, see where those opportunities are with LinkedIn and where you're going to find that value. Instagram. I'm talking about Instagram is like what photo albums or photos from weddings have become. You know, those used to be all very formal and staged, and then we got to the point where they put cameras out on the tables and people could sort of take fun pictures and all that. And now, it's like a whole art form in and of itself in terms of behind the scenes pictures and formal pictures and, you know, people putting all these various types of pictures together. It's a great way to think about Instagram. It's not necessarily a place to take our corporate and organizational portraits and everything is staged and put that out there. That may be part of it, but it's a great way to put the informal visual story of your organization and your brand out there in front of an audience as well. And it's got, again, just like there's emotion and fun and all these different things going on from a wedding album or a wedding, you know, set of wedding photos, you'd want the same kind of thing from an organizational standpoint. Pinterest. Say Pinterest is like a teenage girl's bedroom. You look at that, and it looks kind of messy, but you get a real sense of what she's interested in, what her priorities are, what she's focused on. And it's the same way with Pinterest. It's very visual, and brands could look at that and go, I just don't get where we fit in. But from a user standpoint, and I thought we've heard some interesting examples of Pinterest getting used, you can get out there and really get a sense of not just the typical things about your users, but I mean, if you think about building personas and you want to get a sense of, boy, here's some people who've put together these boards that are really the kind of folks we're trying to go out and reach, you can start to look at that and get a real sense of what are their concerns? What are they excited about? What are the things that they do? YouTube, it's a lot like home movies. It's not the place necessarily for the staged corporate video with the bland music. You know, we heard Cindy talk about video today, you know, the 3.5 minute video with the perfect lighting, with the talking head, looking off camera, talking to, and we're never really sure exactly who they're talking to over here, but it's somebody over who's over to this side or that side who's engaging them, but we never exactly see them. And everything is so buttoned up, and the music's bland, and everything else. And it's like, okay, that has a place, but that's not what YouTube is. You know, people pick up on the videos, the funny stuff, things they've never seen, emotional things, those same kind of things. Emotion keeps coming through all of these things. And that's a great way, again, for a brand to take the visual and the motion with it and think about, what is that story of our brand, and how does that work? And whenever you talk about video, what topic goes along with video? Other than Animoto? I know that always goes. Viral video. Viral video to us is like buying a lottery ticket. You know, and you hear people say, go do us a viral video. It's like, you know what? The odds are about the same. You're not going to win. Nobody you ever have known is going to win. And nobody in your state is going to win. Somebody's going to win, but it's likely not going to be you. You can't go out and play the game that way. It's really go out and put good stories out there, good video that shows emotion in stories and what's going on. I only heard one mention of SlideShare, and it was from Amanda from HubSpot just now. Who's using SlideShare within your organizations? A few folks. It's a great one if you're trying to get thought leadership and get your content out there, and think about SlideShare like a library. There's content out there, it's organized, people are going out and searching. I want to get smarter about something, or I've got a topic, I want to see what presentations or what information is out there. And people can go out, there's lead opportunities. So, you know, think about it as a library. If we were a, you know, publishing books of our content, we certainly would want to have them represented in the library. Are we taking our content and repurposing it, you know, elements of presentations and other things to get them out there, so that we can go out and get found, not just on our site, but go out and get found in other places where people may be looking more generally for great information. Finally, Google Plus. Anybody from Western Kansas here? Anybody ever been to Western Kansas? Where have you been in Western Kansas?
Well,
exactly. I'm from.
Wait, there are wind turbines there.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's it.
When I heard you talking about turbines or wind farms today. Yeah, exactly. So I am from Western Kansas, so I can talk from whence I came from about Western Kansas. People in Western Kansas are very proud of Western Kansas. We have some cool technology. We've got a lot more of these now. The wind farms are going like crazy out in Western Kansas. We feel really good. We're proud of everything involved. We think it should be on your bucket list to come and visit Western Kansas at some point. Even though we're lying, it shouldn't be on anybody's bucket list, because quite honestly, nobody's there, and the people who are there can't give you a really good explanation of why they're there. That's a lot like Google Plus. There's been some cool technology. There are some people who are very proud of it, but you talk and say, well, why are you there? Well, I'm sure it's factoring into our search ranking, and maybe it is, but I don't think it has ever lived up to its expectations much as Western Kansas has not either. So anyway, so that's some ideas on social platforms and some of these models to think about them in different ways. So we've got some time left. I put this up there, but questions, anything you all want to talk about? And then we've got a little bit of a wrap-up, but anything from just over the conference maybe you want to share as well, something that intrigued you or get some reactions from anybody else?